Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, my friends. This is Christopher Check, president of Catholic Answers, sitting in for Cy Kellett. Where is Cy? Cy is vacationing with his beautiful wife, Missy, in Hawaii. And he actually arrived the day after
the non-nuclear attack.
Yeah. the attack that did not happen. Yeah, right. Goodness. So he's having a nice, relaxing time there in Hawaii. I hope he's shooting the curl and catching a wave, as Cy in his past life did, I think. Today with me in the studio, coming up on in the second hour, our dear friend J.D. Flynn. J.D. is the head of the Catholic News Agency, former special assistant to Bishop Conley. And in the second hour, we will be talking about the church in the news. So plan to call in the second hour with your questions about the church and current events. In the first hour, however, I am so happy, I'm filled with joy to have my dear friend in the studio with me, Father Hugh Barber, chaplain of Catholic Answers and former prior. You don't say prior emeritus, do you?
No, you don't.
No, yeah, that's like an academic thing.
Or for prelates, yeah.
So former prior of St. Michael's Abbey in Orange, California, just to the north of us, and on loan by the generosity of St. Michael's Abbey and Abbot Eugene Hayes here to Catholic Answers. On loan, I don't know, in perpetuity.
Alone.
Indefinitely.
Perpetuity.
Yeah. But our topic for this first hour is The Chaplain Is In. So this is your opportunity to call in with questions about the interior life, your spiritual growth. Perhaps with the new year, you have made some resolutions to get closer to our Lord, to get closer to Jesus Christ, to increase your knowledge of the Scriptures, to spend more time in prayer. Perhaps you are struggling with something in your life, a relationship in your family, with a son or a daughter, a spouse, a parent, an old friend, and you have a question that Father Hugh can help you with in that regard. So questions about the spiritual life in this first hour. Father, you and I were having lunch on Thursday, actually at a delightful place by the water, and you made the point to me, actually to me directly. I was being admonished.
Oh, okay. I'll pay attention now. Like, see what my admonitions are.
Well, the need to spend more time in contemplative prayer. Mm-hmm. So we say the rosary, we go to Mass, we do Divine Mercy, we do our examination of conscience at the end of the day, we do our morning offering here at Catholic Answers. We have Angelus at noon every day. So there are these events of, there's probably a word for it, but I'll just say regular prayer life throughout the day. But you were making the point that it is necessary for good spiritual growth, for true spiritual growth, to spend, you said at least 15 minutes a day. You said, in fact, you said at least 15
well,
minutes a day.
That's very, very little.
Yeah, yeah, it is. With our Lord in some kind of in meditative or contemplative prayer. So walk our audience through the need for that.
Well, of course, one thing we need to do is not to distinguish too much our normal vocal prayers, as you mentioned, the Divine Mercy Chaplet or the Rosary or other prayers that we say, from contemplation, because really and truly that those things all belong together. That is, just like our human nature is body and soul, it's certainly not incompatible with contemplation to be saying the prayers of the Rosary while you're contemplating. What we mean by contemplation is that the mind and the heart are focused on the person, the sacred persons with whom we are engaged as we pray. That is, we're consciously aware or we're focusing as much as we can on our Blessed Lord, on His Blessed Mother, on the saints, the angels, the souls in purgatory, spiritual realities, heavenly things. And that means that we need to set aside the external aspect of our prayer and use that kind of as a backdrop to help us. Because the rosary is a perfectly good contemplative prayer because it keeps us occupied with our moving through the beads and our praying of the Hail Marys, but it allows us then to set that aside as the focus of our attention and to begin to think about the mysteries which we're contemplating. And as St. Teresa of Avila said, mental prayer, contemplative prayer, is really a conversation with one whom we know loves us. So just like with your friends or your beloved spouse or fiancé or whoever it might be, you just are happy to be together and you talk about anything you want, there isn't any agenda, as you will, but rather you're simply bringing to the Lord whatever, or His Blessed Mother or the saints, whatever concerns you or is on your heart in the course of your day. And it might even be a good thing that after you pray a rosary, that you might simply speak to our Lord in your own words, just telling Him of the things you are doing. You know, parents, for example, they know what their children are doing, and they could describe their activity very well all day long, but they delight in hearing the child's account of what the day was and what went on, and to see their experience from their own heart. And I think that's something that we miss in prayer, that we really are free, no matter how old we are, no matter how sophisticated or experienced or weary that we might be, just to simply tell the Lord what it is we're doing and ask Him questions and speak to Him as one would speak to a friend. And that, combined with the thought of the mysteries of faith in the rosary, for example, will make for a very powerful experience of prayer. If we persevere in it, we have to keep doing it, not just one day, not just 2 days, but 365 days and beyond.
888-318-7884, 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. We're in studio with Father Hugh Barber. We are talking about the spiritual life. Father, let's go to this question of the rosary that you brought up here. I know many of our listeners are more piously engaged than I am, but all of our minds, I think, wander. And the rosary, my goodness, who can pay attention to those mysteries for, if you're, even if you're only doing five of them, for the fullness of the whole 14 and a half minutes that it takes. And so what do you tell the member of the faithful who is, I do pray the rosary, but I find I'm in the middle of that third decade, and actually what I'm thinking about is the grocery list I need to make, the bills that I need to pay, the soccer practice that I need to drop off for, the countless things I'm behind on at work, or all of these different things that actually are the things that occupy the front of our imagination, when really what we ought to be thinking about are those mysteries.
Well, I would say, first of all, just stop and consider, why shouldn't I be talking to our Lord about my grocery list and my children and all those other things?
Yeah,
first of all, you know, when we meditate on the mysteries, the joyful mysteries, we're meditating on the life of our Lord. It was an actual life. It wasn't just a series of scenes, you know, with people perfectly posed like Renaissance paintings, you know, doing these things. He was actually living a life. So those things can be brought into our prayer. They don't have to be distractions. But there's a great article in the Summa of St. Thomas where he has a question whether it's necessary to pray with attention. And, of course, if you know anything about the Summa, you begin the question by giving the opposite answer of what you're going to conclude. So he says, it is necessary to pray with attention. He says, it would seem that it's necessary to pray with attention, which means he's going to argue that it isn't.
Sure.
And let's make a distinction between attention and intention. St. Thomas teaches really clearly, when you set out to pray and you make the intention to pray, then as long as you don't revoke that intention, you are praying. No matter how distracted you get, as long as the distraction is not a deliberate choice to stop praying.
Say that again, Father. That is a great consolation.
It's very important. All
yes.
Right? If you intend to pray, like any other human activity, you intend to have a conversation with a friend. While you're talking to your friend, you're thinking of a million other things, but you're also attending to your friend. You're not talking to your friend. It's just that you are a bit more distracted than you maybe should be or would like to be. But so when we intend to pray and we don't revoke our intention by deliberate act, then we are praying. And whatever thoughts float through our mind, that does not take away the quality of prayer. St. Thomas says there are different ways to pray. First, the first simplest way is to pay attention to the words we're saying. And that's the way we teach our children to pray. And they really are praying, even if they're only repeating what we say. And then the next one is to consider the meaning of the words that we're saying. And that's another step. And then finally, just simply to be aware of the presence of God, which means you don't have to be thinking about the meaning of the words. You can be thinking about the presence of God. And St. Thomas says the last one gives us a sweetness in prayer that the other two don't necessarily. And that's what's nice about paying with attention, praying with attention. It gives us a sweetness that otherwise is not there. But you're still praying even if you're distracted. Absolutely.
This is a great consolation to the faithful.
It's really true. Yeah. And it counts. It's like Our Lady is very polite. If you say good morning to her, she is going to say good morning back. Even when you say good morning, if you had a friend, you said, good morning, how are you? And they would say, you don't really care that you just said that. You're thinking of something else. Well, that person would be rude because you're observing a normal way of showing respect and consideration and acknowledgement of another person. So when we say Hail Marys to Our Lady, even when they're distracted, but we intend to be praying to her, then she responds lovingly because just like any normal person would to a loving greeting.
Glory, glory. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. Our topic this hour on Catholic Answers Live is The Chaplain Is In. We're going to go to a break, and we'll be right back with your calls.
This is Bishop Robert Barron, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Trent Horn, and I'm here with a couple of very special offers for all of you interested in standing up for the rights of the unborn. January is Pro-Life Month, and to get as many people as we can involved in the pro-life cause, we're making my book, Persuasive Pro-Life, and my DVD, Making the Case for Life, available for just $5 each. That's a saving of over 70%. I wrote this book and I made this DVD specifically with you in mind, to help you engage in sustained and meaningful dialogue and give you the tools you need to change people's hearts and minds, so that together we might build up a pro-life culture, one person, one conversation at a time. To get your copies of my book, Persuasive Pro-Life, or my DVD, Making the Case for Life, for just $5, call 1-888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com.
Just like the saints of the Counter-Reformation, our own souls are in constant need of reform, of reconversion to God and His will for us. We struggle with sin. We become distracted in prayer. We find it hard to be loving and easy to be selfish. In Reform Yourself, Sean McAfee shows you how these magnificent saints can be guides to your own personal transformation. We all need to reform our souls. Let the saints who reformed the church show you how. Order your copy of Reform Yourself today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Do you love sharing the gospel and want to learn to be more effective? Join the St. Paul Street Evangelization Online School of Evangelization. You will learn to build bridges of trust and make disciples by befriending strangers, proclaiming the gospel, inviting people to the church, and praying with others. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you are unable to give, we'll give you a membership at no cost. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome to Catholic Answers Live. The host is Cy Kellett, but he is vacationing in Hawaii, so you have me, Christopher Check, president of Catholic Answers, and in studio with me, my dear friend, Father Hugh Barber, and chaplain of Catholic Answers. Father Hugh, January is Sanctity of Life Month. There are marches for life taking place across the country, and Catholic Answers is eager to help those of our listeners who will be engaging the pro-choice, if you will, in conversation. And we want to engage them in charity because we want to win souls, not win arguments. So to that end, two of our products by our distinguished apologist, Trent Horn, Making the Case for Life, and Trent Horn's book, Persuasive Pro-Life, are available at our website, shop.catholic.com, and they are available for only $5. That is a savings of over 70%. This book and this DVD are really the best resources to equip yourself to engage in that charitable conversation with the defenders of abortion. So you can get either of these by visiting shop.catholic.com or by calling 1-888-291-8000, only $5 each. Our topic today is The Chaplain Is In. Father, as we expected, there would be many phone calls. And so we're going to go. Are you ready to go to questions, Father?
Sure. Absolutely.
Glory to God.
Yeah,
okay.
Happy to.
So let's go to Tim in Cleveland, listening on AM 1260 The Rock. Tim, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, Tim.
Tim, are you there?
Thank you so much. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. How are you?
I'm here.
How's Cleveland?
I'm good. I'm driving in a snowstorm right now.
Glory. Mm.
Yeah. So. Wonderful. Don't worry.
Well, it's in the 70s here. It's clear skies.
I'm not sure how we're supposed to respond to that, Tim. Drive safely. What's your question?
So when Father was talking about contemplative prayer, he brought up the quote, I believe it was Teresa of Avila you quoted, that, you know, it's really just having a conversation with someone you know who loves you.
Right.
And I guess my struggle with contemplative prayer, I'm a very black and white kind of minded person, so when I pray, I oftentimes bring my prayer to Scripture, the Gospels. You know, Jesus said this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the early apostles had these teachings. It's very clear. Or even going to the diary, you know, St. Faustina, where everything's in bold that Jesus says to her.
Mm-hmm.
But when I go into contemplative prayer, my fear is always, will I be mistaking, you know, the voice of God for my own voice or, you know, my own desires? And how do you tell the difference between those two? Because I guess my biggest fear is I go into the Adoration Chapel and I'm kind of just talking with God in my head, but really I'm just talking with myself, and I don't want to do that. So I guess how do you tell the difference between God and your own kind of desires?
Yeah, Tim, wonderful question. Father, I think everyone who has sat with our Lord for more than 5 minutes wonders, you know, am I making this up? Or and I remember my own kids, my boys when they were growing up asked me this very question. How do I know what God is telling me? How do we know it's Him?
Well, you can transfer the question to maybe another kind of scene. For example, if you were to, God forbid, lose your wife or one of your children, and you had a picture of that child, or maybe you went to their grave, and there you engaged in a conversation with them, do you think that your wife or your child would say, oh, you're just talking to yourself. You're not really talking to me. You're just having your own thoughts. You know, you're indulging yourself. Well, the thing is, the important thing with Teresa of Avila is where she says, conversation with one whom we know loves us, we know that whatever we bring to our Lord, sincerely making the effort to pray, that we show up and get to the Blessed Sacrament Chapel and start talking however we want to talk, that this is the movement of His grace, and He will guide us through the desires of our heart and the insights that we receive. And of course, when we have a decision to make that we bring to prayer, of course, part of that then is taking advice from other people and paying attention to the commandments of God and the means we have to discern. But I think that God is not as anxious about this question as we are. It's a very good question, but I think that as long as we are praying based upon the mystery of faith, as you mentioned, the Gospels is perfect, the Rosary, Sister Faustina's revelations— when we're grounding the consideration of our prayer in things which really have to do with Christ and the things that our Lord brought us, then whatever follows after that is really a question of your own freedom. Our Lord wants us to speak to Him freely, and He's not asking us to make a distinction, because all of our prayer is His creation, and in a certain sense, it's all Him and it's also all us, because whatever our prayer brings to the mystical body, it brings something that no one else could bring. And that's why our Lord wants to move our hearts to do our part in prayer so that the church is not missing the gift that my own particular heart, your particular heart, has to offer.
Tim, how's that?
That's a great answer. Thank you so much,
Thank
Father.
You. And you're not as black and white as you think, because if you think you're black and white, then you're probably not.
Yeah, you're probably nuanced.
People that are really like that don't even yeah. know it.
Yeah. All right. Well, enjoy the snow, Tim. Thanks for calling. We look forward to hearing from you again. Let's go to Julie in Southlake, Texas, listening on the EWTN app. Julie, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Hello. How are you?
We're doing
fine.
Well,
Thank
Julie.
You, Julie.
How are you? Where, Julie, where is...
Okay. Okay.
Julie, where is Southlake? Is that near Houston?
No. It is it's in the Dallas... Fort Worth area.
Okay, very good.
It is north of Fort Worth.
There are lots of funny lakes in that area.
Right. My folks live in Arlington.
Oh, okay. So it's going to be north of, kind of right there by the Dallas-Fort Worth airport.
Glory.
Not
good,
too
good.
Far from that.
What's your question, Julie?
Okay. My question is, my godchild has had a baby girl, and she's had two other sons, and I've smocked them their baptismal gowns. The other two children that have been born prior to this. This time she's had a little girl, and I'm going to smock her baptismal gown. But I was thinking about putting little beads around the neckline of it, in sort of a rosary motif. And I didn't know whether that was inappropriate, because I know we do not wear rosaries, but to sort of suggest that in the embroidery or whatever of the gown, yeah. Would that be inappropriate?
No, not at all. That's perfectly fine. I mean, rosaries, you say we do not wear rosaries. Well, Irish Catholics and German Catholics don't wear rosaries, and they tell Italian and Hispanic Catholics that we don't wear rosaries. But that's a matter of dispute. If you see pictures of St. Martin de Porres, you'll see a big rosary around his neck. So people, if they want to wear a rosary around their neck, because they can wear it at their waist, they can wear it around their wrists, they can do whatever they want to with it. So as long as the usage is devout, it's perfectly fine, and that seems like a beautiful motif. The rosary is used also in heraldry and coats of arms, particularly on the coats of arms of nuns or abbesses. So it has a lot of symbolic uses. So that's just fine, just fine.
So away, Julie. That's wonderful. Yeah. When is the baptism?
Okay. Well, and the mother, she's a very devout Catholic. She teaches in a Catholic school, and so I wanted to make sure that I was doing the right thing.
Sure, of course. And I understand, because I've heard that. I used to say that too. We don't wear rosaries, but actually, come on, it's fine. that's what I end up telling people now. But that's a good question, and I'm glad you asked it.
Julie, when is the baptism?
Okay. February 4th.
Okay, what's the baby's name?
The baby's name is Grace.
All right,
Grace,
Glory.
There you go.
Wonderful. Well, we'll
good.
Be praying.
Well, to be full of grace there with the rosary around her neck.
Glory. Good All right, peace. Thank you, Julie. Father, I think we're going to try to get one more call in before the hard break.
Sure, great.
Let's go to Brian in Bangor, Maine, listening on Presence Radio. Brian, welcome to Catholic Answers Live. Brian,
Hello,
are you there?
Brian.
Did we lose you?
Hello, Brian.
Okay.
That's a good question, though.
Hello?
Oh, there he is.
Hey, there
Brian,
he is. Hey,
good.
Brian, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry. I hit the wrong button here. Appreciate you taking my call.
At least you're not in Hawaii, so that's good.
Brian, let's see if we can get this call in before the break. Otherwise, we may have to take the question and then get the answer after the break.
Okay, sure. It's kind of timely. There was an article in our local Harvest magazine, and they were talking about contemplative prayer, and I don't recall the saint or that was involved in the discussion, but there was. It went back to Massachusetts in the 70s. There was, I think it was a group of Jesuits, and they were talking about how that really elevated the importance of contemplative prayer, which kind of surprised me. It was so recent. And then I've been reading a lot on it, and I find controlling my breathing ahead of time and just kind of clear my head and then read scripture helps. You just kind of slow your heart rate down. And this particular article mentioned the individual was used to use, I think it was Yesu, you use a spiritual word and you repeat it. over and over, and then focus your breathing.
The holy name.
And I just, I would like to, Father Barber's opinion of that or thoughts on that.
Yeah, that's a whole tradition in the church, especially in the East, the Christian East, of the continual invocation of the name of Jesus along with the regulation of the breath. And that is perfectly fine because it's a way of maintaining one's focus and attention and recollection. Combining that with the scripture, it's perfectly fine because just anything that will enable us to be reflective is perfectly good. So that's a great way to approach the prayer,
so that,
especially if you use the name of Jesus.
Right, that controlling of the breathing, that can contribute to that collectedness
right.
we want to have in a prayer. So 888-318-7884. The show is Catholic Answers Live. My guest is Father Hugh Barber, and we will be right back after this break.
Catholic Answers Live.
EWTN, communicating the faith.
I feel like God has been really doing a work in me in the last 5-10 years. I'm a convert to Catholicism, and I started to just really feel a passion to know more about the Catholic faith, and I started listening to Catholic radio all day. I'm not doing great things, but I'm doing small things with great love.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
January is Pro-Life Month, and to get as many people as we can involved in the pro-life cause, we're making Trent Horn's book, Persuasive Pro-Life, available for just $5 a copy. That's a savings of over 70%. This book was made specifically with you in mind, to help you engage in sustained and meaningful dialogue, and to give you the tools you need to change people's hearts and minds, so that together, we might build up a pro-life culture, one person, one conversation at a time. To get your copies of the book Persuasive Pro-Life for just $5 each, call 1-888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com.
Did the Catholic Church add books to the Bible? Or did Protestants remove 7 books from the Old Testament? Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger takes you on a fact-filled tour through the history of the Bible, revealing the whole story behind the lost books of the Protestant Old Testament. With the latest information and discourse on crucial issues, Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger is a book that belongs in the library of every serious student of Scripture. And as a special bonus, if you order online, we'll add an ebook copy of 15 Myths, Mistakes, and Misrepresentations about the Deuterocanon to your order absolutely free. Get your free ebook today. Order your copy of Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger by logging on to our online shop at shop.catholic.com.
Truth. The show is Catholic Answers Live. I'm Christopher Check, sitting in for Cy Kellett, vacationing in beautiful Hawaii. My guest for this first hour is Catholic Answers chaplain, Norbertine priest, and dear friend, Father Hugh Barber. Father Hugh, if someone listening who has never met you, or maybe has met you, but would like to meet you again, especially in Eastern or Central Europe in June of next year, June of this year, what would he or she do?
He would or she would look on Catholic Answers website and find the information about our Danube cruise,
right,
and sign on.
Because there are only 5 cabins left.
Only 5 cabins left.
Sailing from Budapest.
And none of them are mine.
No, you have one. Sailing from Budapest on June 8th, Budapest, Vienna, Bratislava, Melk, all the magnificent cities, yes, of the Danube, and we'll be joined by Archbishop Sample. My friends, there are only 5 cabins left. CatholicAnswersCruise.com, CatholicAnswersCruise.com. I think we're even running some kind of a special $100 off if you put in the code New Year or something like that. But anyway, only 5 cabins left, and we're going to have a wonderful time. You'll be in the presence of Father Hugh Barber and able
and
to.
And I'll be in yours,
that's
more
right.
importantly.
Amen. Right. Father, today at Mass, By the way, my friends, Father Hugh's homilies, not all of them, but many of them from our daily mass here.
Not today's.
No, I don't know. That's the – it's the – the vicissitudes of the video department.
Yeah, right.
I can't explain it. Many of your homilies from our mass here at 8:30 every day with the Catholic Answer staff are now available on the website and on the Facebook page. Today you made a point that would strike many Catholic ears, I think, as odd. And that is that our Lord – you actually quoted a great saint – our Lord is more interested in our desires than our accomplishments. Can you unpack that for me?
Well, again, we need to go back to the paradigm of the parent with the child, or the mentor with his mentee. When you're dealing with your children, what are you more concerned about? What motivates them, what their desires are, which reveal their character and their real tendencies, or just what they get done? And you know very well with your children, it's important what they get done, and accomplishments are important, but more important for someone who loves someone who's forming them and leading them to their happiness is the desires of their heart, because that shows whether anything is taking or not. And so I think with our Lord, of course, evidently he wants us to have desires that exceed our abilities, because what he has in store for us in the life to come totally exceeds our capacities, and there isn't anything we could do in this earthly life to accomplish, to merit it completely, or to do anything that would measure up to it. So he wants our desires to be great for our own union with him and our holiness, and he looks to those things. And therefore, if in our weakness we fall short of those desires, he understands, because he himself has set the bar to be the bar of his own goodness. And of course, God's goodness is, you know, way beyond us. So he understands that. And so I think that's just a practical reality, that our desires are more indicative of his work in us sometimes than our accomplishments. That isn't to say it's not an excuse for not accomplishing anything or not following through or not doing anything. That's a different question. But it's just that it's good to know that he's not shaming us and standing there tapping his toe and looking at his watch, waiting for us to get done with our business.
And this consolation, you said, comes from Teresa of Avila.
Teresa of Lisieux.
Right. Yeah. And it is a consolation, because there is a stripe of Catholic, maybe even many of them, who are interested in making sure that they've ticked off this or they've ticked off that, or they've reached this goal, or I'm this much closer. Or
and Jesus can put up with that too, because he goes, that's fine, but you know, I have more in store for you. So if you want to make it that way, we'll put up with it for a while.
It's beautiful. You ready to take some more calls?
Sure.
All right. Let's go to Guadalupe, listening on St. Joseph. It's listening in St. Joseph, Missouri on 106.7 FM. Guadalupe, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm doing great. Hey, I just wanted to get your take on techniques that will help maintain focus on the rosary. Now, what I have over the years, I've learned the Hail Marys and the Our Fathers in a total of five different languages, and it was good for a while because I really had to focus. And from time to time, I'll purposely slow the rosary down where it takes. I stretch it out where it takes 2 hours. That I do this very rarely because the inner child in me is screaming to get it over with when I do this. But I wanted to get your take on if I'm doing a little too much adornment or too much preoccupation with techniques and getting away, drifting away from the dedication to the stations and so forth.
Very good. All right. So, yeah. Father, praying in different languages.
Well, of course, it's great to learn the Our Father and Hail Mary in different languages. St. Francis Sales, for example, in his Introduction to Devout Life, says that everyone should learn their Our Father and Hail Mary in Latin, since that's the language of the Church.
Amen.
And so he's got it right there. So that's a little advice from the Doctor of the Church. But we know it in our own mother tongue, and we could know it in Latin as well, but maybe others. That's fine if it helps you to pay attention, but it sounds to me like it's bogging you down. And it should only be a motivation. It should make you more enthusiastic about prayer. It shouldn't make your inner child, as you say, cry out and want to finish things sooner. I'm reminded, if you'll excuse me, of the Addams Family television program where, you know, every time Morticia would speak French, he would go wild and kiss her all the way up the arm, you know, because she spoke French. So that's if speaking another language is moves you to greater love or enthusiasm, then go ahead. But if, and some people really truly find that true of Latin. Latin has a dignity and a beauty that inspires, and the same could go with other languages. But I would just say, you know, if it in the least way it seems to be a burden, then just don't worry about it, because we're really just talking to our Lord, just like if you were talking to your wife or someone you love, and you wouldn't be focusing on, you know, trying different languages to talk to them unless they themselves were interested. So I would just say, you know, whatever moves you and keeps you persevering in prayer, it doesn't give you an excuse to stop or to complicate the matter. So I'd say it's fine, but just, you know, keep it simple.
Guadalupe has that.
Yeah, and one more is just recently, I don't know why, I've prayed out loud always at my, you know, within my own home. Recently, I'm an older guy, and I'm quieting down. I don't like it, but I don't know. It's like I'm losing a little energy to verbalize it, and I know when I verbalize, I hear it. I hear it, and I'm more in tune with it. Silent prayer. What's your take on that versus vocal?
God hears both, and what you point out is that when we pray out loud, we hear ourselves, and that can be helpful to confirm certain truths in our minds. But certainly, praying silently is absolutely fine. In fact, I won't say it's superior, but let's just say it shows that your prayer is deepening to include all the aspects of your personality and not just one of them.
Excellent advice. Let's go to Roxanne in Indiana. Roxanne, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Thank you for taking my call.
Hello, Roxanne. Yeah.
I have trouble sometimes when I'm praying, and because my son died by suicide about 8 years ago, and it's like this thought, well, how can you trust God if you prayed to make sure that he wouldn't die? He had had surgery and had some back problems and stuff, and then he did suicide. And it's like I get kicked in the stomach or chest or something, and, you know, it's questioning God's goodness. And I know God is good, but when that happens, you know, it's like I have to go back to square one, and it just sets me back. How can I overcome that? How can I not have that happen?
Yeah, well, I'm very sorry about your son, and certainly I pray for you and for him. I think that there are two things that come to mind with this question, and you'd use the expression the goodness of God, and there it is. God is constantly bestowing his goodness on us, and we're able to receive it, or sometimes we're unable to receive it as God would pour it out on us. Just like with your son, you would have done anything for him to get the feelings of your heart and the reassurance you wanted to offer him, but you weren't able to make him see that. You know, you would have done anything to reassure him so that he wouldn't take his own life. We have to see that God working with us is the same thing. There's a great mystery in human freedom and God's permissive will where, you know, he allows us the use of our freedom. And so we can just say that your son is certainly in God's hands and he suffered terribly and only God is the judge. But what is certain is that God's love for him is very much like your love for your son. That is a love which poured out on him good things, but where those good things weren't received the way that they could have been if they were going to prevent him from taking his own life. So I think the idea there is that God is with you. He's not just like a superior power that could have made it all different. He is also the one who's with you, and his mysterious plan is being worked out. So that's one thought, just that he's with you and that your love for your son and your experience of sadness and grief at not being able to get through to him is very much more like God's love for your son than you might imagine. Then on the other hand, there's another point, and that is that what is the goodness of God in the situation? It's that you, right here and now, the good effect of your son's tragedy is that you continue your walk of faith, living in God's light and grateful for his gifts, trusting in him that he has everything in hand. And that's a tremendous fruit of a tragedy that you could have in your life that could make you more peaceful and also make you of service to others, you know, make you wise. And I'm sure you've had those thoughts before. You know, when we bear with these terrible burdens, you know, our Lord in the agony of the garden, he experienced all the shame and all the sadness and frustration of the sins of the world. And so he's right there with you. And yet, if you live with that, with gratitude to God, giving him thanks for the good things he gives you and for the life of your son, which was for 20 years, granted, that's 8 years ago, but for 20 years, he was in this world, and now he's in the other world, and he's in the hands of God. So you just have to thank God for that, I would say, and I don't mean have to, like, you know, it's an obligation, but just it would help you spiritually very much just to say, well, I accept things the way they are. There's nothing I can do to change the situation, and God is giving me now the wisdom and the strength to glorify him, and that's the best thing you can do for your son, who definitely can still benefit from your prayers. That's just, and I know that those may sound like just words, because the grief you have is something, you know, that no one can discount at all.
Roxanne, we can only guess at the grief that you are feeling, but I do want you to know that you have the prayers of Father Hugh, you have my prayers, you have the prayers of the Catholic Answers staff, and all of our listeners. When we get calls like this, I just know that they immediately start saying prayers for your grief. Was Father Hugh able to bring some clarity for you?
Yes, yes. I just want to be stronger, and I hate the fact that, you know, when I'm praying, not all the time, but that it makes me, like, stop and question God, and it wasn't God that caused it. I just, you know, yeah. Sometimes it just throws me for a loop.
Well, I think that you know, there you're just talking to God, and our Lord accepts absolutely every thought that comes through your head as you pray, and anything that you're thinking, you just express to him with a certain confidence, and the two of you, our Lord and you, will get through it, you know. Yeah. God bless you. I'll certainly pray for you.
Roxanne, you're in our prayers. Yeah. My friends, the show is Catholic Answers Live. We will be right back after this break.
We're here for you. Call now. Catholic Answers Live.
January is Pro-Life Month, and to get as many people as we can involved in the pro-life cause, we're making Trent Horn's book, Persuasive Pro-Life, available for just $5 a copy. That's a savings of over 70%. This book was made specifically with you in mind to help you engage in sustained and meaningful dialogue and to give you the tools you need to change people's hearts and minds so that together we might build up a pro-life culture one person, one conversation at a time. To get your copies of the book Persuasive Pro-Life for just $5 each, call 1-888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com.
Whatever I have learned, writes Catholic Answers founder Carl Keating, I have learned from the masters of the craft. In his new book, Booked for Life, a bibliographic memoir of an accidental apologist, Carl gives future generations a roadmap of what it takes and what it means to become a Catholic apologist. In the way only Carl can, he recounts numerous real-life situations he has encountered in his long career that illustrate the apologetic lessons he's learned. Then, drawing on a lifetime of experience, Carl reveals the books that helped him learn to defend the Catholic faith. Order your copy of Booked for Life today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their Catholic values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Home
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, my friends. Chris Check sitting in for Cy Kellett, my guest, Father Hugh Barber. Father Hugh, my goodness, what a call from Roxanne there in the previous segment. The permissive will of God, what a mystery to us. And yet, even in the cases of great evils, a greater outcome is the effect, right, than had the evil not taken place.
Well, it's not the direct effect of evil, because evil can't affect anything. But let's just say God can bring about this wonderful effect because of the occasion of the evil. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's definitely true. Otherwise, we're cooked.
It's a consolation and a mystery.
Right,
like,
exactly.
Well, like all the best consolations.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, 888-318-7884. Father, and there was a question before that about the gentleman praying in multiple languages. I remember you're telling me a number of years ago when I think Nicholas was first entering high school and we were deciding what foreign language he would study, you told me that Our Lady's favorite language is French.
I told you that?
Yes, you did. And you said because Our Lady has appeared in France.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
More places than anywhere else.
It so seems that way, yeah.
It's very clear that her favorite language is French.
But she also spoke Nahuatl in
Diego.
And what other things she spoke? The local language in Rwanda. So, I mean, there are other examples. But
everyone should learn the Je vous salue.
Right. You've got Miraculous Medal, Lourdes, Pontmain.
Right.
You've got all those lots of apparitions. That's
La Salette.
La Salette.
Yeah. Very good. Well, we're going to try to knock out at least three more calls here before the end of the hour. Carolyn in Erie, Pennsylvania, listening on Stations of the Cross. Carolyn, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Hello.
Hello, Carolyn.
Father and Mr. Check, I'm hanging in there because I just lost my mother 5 days ago.
Oh, Carolyn,
so
we're praying for you.
Mary was her name.
Okay.
But I wanted to ask just a couple questions. I'd always heard my mother and I were big scapular wearers, and my mother's sister, my mom was the last of 11 to pass away, and my aunt was Carmelite nun, and I remember hearing bits and pieces about a Sabbatine promise.
Yeah.
It's something about that if you had fulfilled, you know, different obligations in your life, including like attending the Mass and Rosary and First Saturdays and different things, that I wasn't sure if it would be on a first, supposedly, and I use that word, that you would be taken up to heaven. And I didn't know if that is just, you know, I don't want to say legend or lore, but...
No, it's a traditional devout belief that the Church has certainly allowed the faithful to have. It's been held by many saints and devout people that for those who wear Our Lady's Scapular and are faithful to the daily prayer, either of her little office or the rosary and to penance, that they are liberated from purgatory on the first Saturday after their death. Of course, this belief, it started in a time when people had a very vivid sense of the reality of purgatory, and they didn't. Nobody expected their purgatory to be short, so it was really a very important thing. So yes, it's perfectly reasonable. What we really need to focus on is that if your mother was devout to Our Lady during her life, and trusted in intercession, and was devoted to her, then certainly she receives Our Lady's assistance if she has any purification to undergo. So that's the most beautiful thing. And then, of course, if the living are devoted to the dead, praying for them, that's another thing that helps them very much when they're in purgatory. Those St. Thomas teaches, with those who prayed a lot for the dead in their life or did works of mercy for them, they also receive abundant help. So you have every reason. And just this is Monday, and 5 days ago was what, Friday, Thursday? So you never know. Just keep praying and trust in Our Lady that she'll take care of your mother.
She's a great advocate.
Yes,
Our Lady.
devout as my mother was, you know, we all, of course, in our family like to think she went straight up, but I know that only God knows that. And I was able to be with her when she passed, and I'd been taking care of her for a while, so I have found great solace in that. But one other quick question I just wanted to ask. It seems like, and this has happened to me before when someone close has passed, and I don't know if it's just... you know, like you're noticing things more, whatever. But I kid you not, I have found, like, holy cards of Mary, like, they just seem to be in front of me. Like, I came outside where I'm in Erie, and we had a ton of snow, and we had a lot of problems with our house. The gutters came down, wires were in one, just a lot of things has been occupying my attention. I was just outside checking something. I came in, there was a chapel with a St. Anthony on the floor, and a scapular that I'd been looking for. And, I mean, they just it wasn't in a place where I would find them. Or I found a card on the table today that my mother had given me years ago. It was a Christmas card. And, I mean, I took them as science covers. I mean, at first, you know, it makes you, like, you know, you get that raw feeling because it's just reminding you how it's just been a few days. But I wonder if that is anything that you've ever heard of or other people had said.
Oh, sure.
I mean, I'm trying to take it that it's my mother's letting me know that her little girl's okay.
Yeah, certainly your mother, or more likely her guardian angel, because the departed, without their bodies, it would be a miracle if they could communicate with us directly. But what happens is when the departed communicate with us, usually it's through their angel. And so that's why these little things that angels know where they are can kind of show up by surprise. I've heard many stories like that. So,
Carolyn, are you in Father Larry's parish there in Erie?
Pardon me?
Are you in Father Larry Richard's parish in Erie?
No.
All right,
offense to Father Larry. No, I belong.
He's going
to
be on the air here on Thursday. Listen, your mom is in our prayers, and so are you, dear.
Yeah, God bless,
Father. Let's try to knock out a couple more calls. Margaret in California on Sirius EWTN Sirius 130. Margaret, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, thank you very much for taking my call. A little bit on that the purgatory thing from the previous caller.
Margaret, I'm sorry, we're way up against the clock. If we can just get your question for Father Hugh, that way we can.
Oh, okay, Father. Can you just please tell me what is the correct thing to do during the Great Amen during Mass? Are we supposed to be kneeling or standing? Because many times I find myself just standing all by myself when everyone is still kneeling until the amen is done.
Yes, well, in the United States, the norm is to kneel during the entire Eucharistic prayer, so that would mean all the way through the amen. And so in other countries it may be different, but here you would kneel all the way through the great amen.
Thank you, Margaret, for calling. Let's go to Emily in Edinburgh, Texas, listening on Facebook. Emily, welcome
Hello.
To Catholic Answers Live.
Thank you. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, how can I get my son to baptize his kids?
Because he's himself not...
He is baptized.
Yes, right. But he's not practicing the faith?
No.
Okay. Well, the thing there, what you need to do first is to convince your son that he wants, even if he doesn't practice himself, that he wants his children to be raised Catholics.
Otherwise, a priest won't baptize.
Because you can't get a child baptized if the father... is opposed to the baptism or is not going to raise the child in the faith. So there's several things that could happen. He could agree that he's going to raise the children Catholic and then it could be baptized. Or if he doesn't feel like he can, he could choose godparents who were willing to take on the responsibility, then that's another possibility. But the first thing you need to be convinced of is to raise the children in the faith, because a priest is not going to baptize the children if there's not going to be any instruction. Okay.
Is that helpful, Emily?
Okay, and if the instruction...
Pardon?
If the instruction is done by me, the grandmother, the grandparent?
Well, that's if the parish priest agrees with that, that's fine. But your son has to agree that the baby has to be raised a Catholic. And sometimes that works. If the grandmother's willing to say, if you say, well, look, Mom, if you want to raise the children Catholic, it's fine with me, and that's okay, and you talk to the priest about it, and he says it's okay, then you can go through with it. But a lot depends on your son and the parish priest.
Perfect.
Thanks.
Thank you.
God bless.
Thank you so much, Emily. Father Hugh, again, another hour with you has gone by like with the speed of an angel. She's sort of the intellect of an angel and the speed of an angel.
Well, no, not the speed of an angel, that's for sure. And certainly not the intellect. You need to raise your idea of angelic intellect.
Well, it's a great blessing having you here, Father. And speaking of which, can we get yours
certainly
before we...
Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti, descendat super vos et maniat semper.
Amen. Coming up in our second hour, J.D. Flynn and the Church in the News. The program is Catholic Answers Live. I'm Christopher Check, sitting in for Cy Kellett.